السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. Tonight, as you know, is the 30th night, and it is Allah Ta'ala's fazl and ihsan that He gave us one more night of Ramadan. Lots of people are not too happy when there is a 30th night. I mentioned the other day that those who were in the 70s and 80s, or those who remember the Taraweehs of those days, or the Jumu'ahs of those days, then it was like a customary practice that there will be khutbahs of Al-Wida on Jumu'ah day, or in the bayans, or after Taraweeh. The person who is singing also says, Al-Wida, Imahe Ramadan, Al-Wida. But half of them are saying, Al-Wida, Imahe Halim, Al-Wida. Al-Wida, Imahe Custard, Faluda, Al-Wida. Now where will we get this custard and faluda and samosas and bhajiyas and everything at iftar time? Some of them don't see it the whole year round. So that person is singing Mahe Ramadan Al-Wida, and this person is in his heart saying that I'm not so worried about the Ramadan, but my concern is the samosas, the faluda, the custard, and all the specialities of Ramadan, that will all become Al-Wida now. Allah's fazal and ihsan in the month of Ramadan, He increases the barakat in the rizq. The changes that come about in the month of Ramadan are so clear, conspicuous. Everybody can see the transformation that takes place. The masajid get full, people in tilawat, in zikr, in ibadat. All these things happen, we see it with our eyes. And as soon as the moon of Eid is sighted, then it seems like we are just waiting for that day to run from the masjid. What a sad state of affairs. I always give that example of the dent, or dents on cars. Put it on, you see. The dents on cars. That if a person meets up with an accident, and the car has got a lot of dents, so you give it to the panel beater, and the panel beater now works on the car and tries to remove all those dents. And then he gives it back to the owner in a showroom condition. So then it is the duty of the owner that now he must drive carefully. Accident is an accident, but purposely he mustn't go and bash the car and smash the car. Unless, of course, he wants to make an insurance claim for a new car. But the person who is sensible is not going to do a thing like that. So like that, we enter the month of Ramadan with so many different dents on our bodies, spiritual bodies. We entered with so many different kinds of dents. So what were we doing in the month of Ramadan? With the istighfar, with the tawbah, with the charities, and with the paying back to whomsoever whatever was due, or seeking forgiveness from those people. With our tilawat of the Quran Sharif, with our tasbihat, with our taraweeh salat, with all the different majalis of deen, attendance. Now all that was so that we remove those dents. Those dents must be removed. And we were trying to bring our spiritual bodies in showroom condition. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us 30 days, 30 solid days, not just one night or two nights or one or two days, 30 days, which is more than sufficient. It's ample. For the weakest of the weakest too, it is sufficient. A person would say that I am the most sinful one in, how can I change? So 30 days for a change, and there again the nafs is being suppressed, because what takes the person towards sins? It's his nafs or it is shaitan. These are the two things that takes the person towards sins. So if he says I'm the very sinful one, I have got a lot of weaknesses, the dents on my car are unreal, from the bonnet to the boot is nothing but dents. From the bonnet to the boot, nothing but dents. So for that person also, like us, 30 days in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chains the evil shayateen, and then through our fasting gives us control over the nafs, because the nafs has all the time got desires, desires, desires. The desires of the nafs can never be fulfilled in this world. There's no limit to it. The nafs has got no limit, the desires of the nafs. The mizaj of the nafs is exactly like that of the fire of Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will say, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. Are you full? Say, هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. Are there any more? The stomach of Jahannam will not get filled. So that is the mizaj of the nafs, that the desires will go on and on and on. The more we see, the more the desires. The more we listen, the more the desires. The more somebody speaks to us about the different things that are happening, the sinful places that the person visited, or the sinful things that are happening, the person's desire increases. I wish I could also be there. There are many of us who are not going to those places just because we are in this garb here. This garb is something that is restricting, that is holding us back from going to those places. So it's a great ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Those people who say that there's no real need for the outward also is something that assists and helps in protecting a person from going to those haram places. Now, none of us will go with these beards and with these kurtas and with these topis and go and queue up by a cinema now, or some theatre, or some prostitute quarters. The person will first go and he'll change his clothes. Unless, of course, he's a shameless person. We're not talking about the shameless one. The shameless one is afataka al-haya faf'al mashita. So when haya is gone, then the person can behave like a monkey, like a donkey, like a pig. We're talking about the person who has got some shame and some haya. So if that person wants to go to any of those places, the first thing he does is goes and changes his clothes. Lots of our ladies also who go to such places, if they left from the home with cloaks and scarves, first they'll go to some corner and throw away that scarf and cloak, and then enter the cinema. Students of deen sometime. So now we mustn't think that how can students of deen be going to such places. Students of deen do go to such places. But they were not students of deen. They were people who were going to those places who became students. If there's a real student of deen, he's not going to go there. But sometimes, as Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi said, that talib ilm chor nahi hota hai. Lekin kabhi aisa hota hai ke chor talib ilm ban jata hai. A person in aitikaf, he's not going to steal. What did he sit in aitikaf for? To steal. For what does a person sit in aitikaf? To steal people's cell phones. Now there one brother who lost his cell phone. Now somebody stole the cell phone who came into the masjid, who must have been in aitikaf or was not in aitikaf but pretended. So we will say that sometimes thieves come in that garb to steal. But they pretend that they are in aitikaf, they pretend they are coming to masjid to make namaz. They pretend that they are going to Ka'batullah Sharif to make Hajj. In the meantime, they are watching the people at the Multazam. That person is crying it out before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for rahmat and barakat. And somebody else is slicing his pocket and thinking that that's the barakat that he is getting there. Because he is listening that this man is making dua, Ya Allah, give me barakat and forgive all my sins. So he truly believes this is a pious man. So the money in his back pocket must have got barakat. So he takes the scissors and cuts that pocket and takes the money away. So all these type of things happen. How many people there in Makkah Sharif are just there for begging, nothing else. That hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of whom, the rich, and they are going to go just for tourism. Business people for business. The ulama for name and fame. Hazrat so and so made 50 hajj. And the poor people for begging. But again, that does not mean that every poor person is going there for begging, and every alim is going for name, and every businessman is going for nothing but business, and every rich person is going for nothing but tourism. It doesn't mean that. When these hadiths, when these type of ahadiths we read, then we mustn't run to conclusions that everybody is like that. What it means that we must not be like that. That if I am a rich person, then I must not go for tourism there. The person who is poor, and if somehow he landed there in Makkah Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala conveyed him there, so then he must not be there for begging only. That is the place to beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, not to beg of people. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala calls people there, that come here and beg of me. Lower this volume. Beg of me. Allah Ta'ala calls the people. Every place there is nothing but place of dua. And what is dua? Begging of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Like there is a board here we've got outside in the masjid there. It says no begging in masjid area. So masjid area is for begging. We must beg in the masjid. If we're not going to beg in the masjid, where are we going to beg? The board says mustn't beg. Masjid is a place to beg. But beg of whom? Beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. His treasures are unlimited. In His hands everything lies. So therefore we must come into the masjid and beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So what I was saying is that sometimes a person in this garb, he wears this garb, but he came for other reasons. So the student sometimes, he was a drug addict, he was a thief, he was a person that was involved with some woman. Now he takes admission into a madrasa, a Darul Uloom. Now the people say, look at this student in the Darul Uloom and he's doing this, he's doing that. So he came from the outside with his baggage inside. Just as he brought a bag full of kitabs and came inside, he brought a lot of other baggage too. The only baggage we see is the kitabs in the bag. But he brought some other baggage also from the high school, from the university, and from the outside. So you don't blame the institution for that. Look at all the good students there. Look at all the good ulama. There are so many. Otherwise in the field of medicine also, how many bogus doctors? And how many are getting caught for immoral activities? So do all doctors now give up the profession? So we have to understand everything, put everything in its proper perspective. That these ahadith, what they are doing is warning us that if you are going, then don't go with those niyats. If a businessman is going with a niyat of business, then he must make it clear. If somebody asks him, what you're going for? I'm going for business. I'm going to buy dates from there. I'm going to buy clothes from there. Or I'm going to buy something else from there. Or I'm going to do a big oil deal there with the king. Whatever he's going for, then he must say. And he say, by the way, also those are the days of Hajj. So inshallah, if Allah wills, I will make my Hajj too. So then there's no problem. Now the person hasn't made a loud claim that I'm going for Hajj. I'm going for Hajj, he's telling everybody. And in the meantime, his niyat is to go there for nothing but business. So now he must make it clear that I'm going for business. And during those days of Hajj, I will also make my Hajj. And the other person who is going for Hajj, then his niyat must be only Hajj, that I'm going for Hajj. After that, by the way, if he buys something, or he trades there with somebody, or he brings some goods from there for selling also, or he takes from here and sells there too, there's nothing wrong with that. It's permissible, it's halal, trade is halal. We can't say it is haram. But what is meant here is that the niyat that the person is going with, then he must be very clear. If it is Hajj, then he must make it clear, I'm going for Hajj. And if he's not going for Hajj, he's going for just business, then he must say, I'm going for business. So there's no problem. Somebody meets him there, he tells them clearly that I came here to ship some containers from here. So what's the problem? But the person who's saying, I'm going for Hajj, so then his niyat must be that, by the way you buy. So in everything, this is important, that with what niyat we do those things. So I was discussing the dents. I don't know where we went, but in any case, the dents, the different types of dents on our spiritual bodies. So through our istighfar, through our tawbah, and through our tears of nadamat and shame, we are washing away those sins. We are removing those dents. And all the pledges and promises that we made to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we will not return to those sins again. So those sins included everything. Rights of people, as if it had been trampled, then it's sins. If the person has been abusive to his wife, to his children, to his family, or if the person has stolen somebody's property, or the person took loans and is not paying, so those are sins. So those sins also, when he said, Ya Allah, I'm pledging I won't return to those sins, and make me maaf, forgive me, so it will mean now go and pay back to whomsoever, whatever is due. Fulfill the rights of those people whose rights have been trampled. And if it is namaz, roza, zakat, then start making the qaza, start paying back the zakat. And that will mean that the person was removing those dents. So our spiritual bodies also get dented, just as our cars get dented. And just as rust catches onto iron, like that rust also catches onto our hearts. Is the remembrance of death and zikrullah, tilawat of the Quran Sharif. These are the things that remove those dents and remove those rusts. It removes that rust from the heart. Because until that rust is there, you recite the whole Quran Sharif from the beginning to the end 12 times. And the person still remains in square one. He doesn't go anywhere from there. At the most he made some namaz and he's out. But once he's outside again, it's the same. He will perform Hajj, he'll come back. And if before he was charging 10% interest, now he'll charge 15% to cover up the ticket expenses. Because it costs quite a bit. So now he's going to cover up somewhere. So now he's going to increase the rate of interest. How many people are involved in these type of sins? One person says that I was owing one Muslim brother some money. So he was charging me an X amount. So I told him one day that as a Muslim, how can you charge me interest on a loan? I'm a Muslim, you're charging me interest. So he said, I don't think Allah Ta'ala will be displeased with me, because I'm assisting you and helping you. You went to the banks, nobody wanted to give you money. You asked your friends or whoever you asked, nobody wanted to give you a loan. So I am helping you. You are in need and I'm helping you. And I'm charging you much less than what the banks are charging. If, for argument's sake, the banks were charging 20%, then I'm charging you 12%. So I have charged you much less than the bank. So how can Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then be displeased? Na'uzu billahi min zalik. As Hazrat Khaja Sahib rahmatullah says, Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. کیسا یہ انقلاب ہے دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے کہتے ہیں اب ثواب ہے سود میں اور قمار میں کیسا یہ انقلاب ہے دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے کہتے ہیں اب ثواب ہے سود میں اور قمار میں. What a revolution has taken place. What a change in our lives. it is as if the hearts of the Ahlullah, the hearts of the pious and the righteous, we have made them into kebabs. When you put meat over the fire and it gets bright, gets burnt, because of the revolution that has taken place in society, the sins that are committed openly, open violation of Islamic law and Sharia, open rejection of the ahkam of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unconcerned, such kind of statements are made. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekhe ki dil kabab hai. Their hearts get burnt in that worry and in that concern. Kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein. Muslim says that there is sawab in taking interest and in gambling, sawab. So this is what it means, that when this person says that Allah is not going to get displeased with me because I'm giving you, charging you much less than the banks, so is that not considering sawab? Taking of interest is considering sawab. This Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said this some 40-50 years ago, but how true it is, 60 years ago. That today the person is saying exactly what he was saying. Kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein, that I'm charging you less, so Allah Ta'ala will not get angry. The lotto, when it was introduced, and they made a big announcement that a certain percentage of the lotto takings will be going in charities. I mentioned this before too in some majlis. They said a certain percentage of the lotto earning takings will be going in charities. And I always say the lotto is luto, grab. That poor man, we say it's only 3 rand, 5 rand, 10 rand. But how many 3 rands he puts in there? He puts his whole month's earnings in there, in expectation of 20 million and 30 million and 60 million. So he puts his whole earnings in there. And then he can't pay his accounts. He's got no food at home. Electricity is cut. Why? Because whatever he had, he put it there into that lotto. And they said it was for the poor man. Assistance for the poor man. Now does it assist the poor man? A few people will get those millions. But what about the rest of them? So it is not lotto, it is luto. Take, grab. Like the malls, they maul the person generally. The person goes to the mall, he gets mauled. So kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein. So then when they said that a certain percentage will go to charities, so many Muslim organizations started writing to them. We received questionnaires at that time, queries, that will it be permissible to take this money or accept it as charity for our institution? We are running this madrasa, we have to pay salaries of the Imam and the Muazzin of a certain masjid. Even one masjid, the Imam's salary and the Muazzin's salary, the organization wanted to know, can we accept this lotto money for payment of those salaries? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, kehte dekh ke dil kabab hai, kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein. If we are going to pay salaries from such kind of monies, will it bring barakat in that masjid? Throughout the world, there's so much of problems that masajid are experiencing, the trustees, infighting, politics, and all kinds of things are happening. What is the major cause of all those problems? The type of donations that we are giving to those masajids and those madaris. Now those collectors, they were going to worry what kind of money they are collecting. It was our duty not to give such kind of money to them. If we want barakat, if we want rahmat, if we want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help and assistance, then it won't come on this kind of donations. دنیا گلے کا ہار ہے دین نظر میں خار ہے، دنیا گلے کا ہار ہے دین نظر میں خار ہے، یہی اگر بہار ہے آگ لگے بہار میں۔ دنیا گلے کا ہار ہے دین نظر میں خار ہے، دنیا از اور نیکلس راؤنڈ اوور نیکس از دنیا، اینڈ دین از لائک اے تون، دین از لائک اے تون۔ The person tells somebody this is wrong, this is haram. As a Muslim, we should not be going in this direction or that direction. And then people come upon him like a ton of bricks. He won't even have the himmat to say it again. They'll make sure they crush him properly. And watch carefully that there's no life left there. So that he doesn't have the himmat to say again that this is a Quran and this is Sunnah and this is Haqq and this is Batil and this is Truth and this is Falsehood and this is Deen and this is Dunya and this is Halal and this is Haram. Time will come when the person in a home, the pious child, if he has to tell parents something, he'll be treated like the kid of a goat. Or even the people of the house, they'll treat him like a kid of a goat. The pious one in the house. Like how the kid of a goat, you slap it from this side, you slap it from that side, and it can't do anything. So like that, that child in the house is pious, or that person in the house is pious, he will be treated like that. That where are you coming up with all this? Don't watch this and don't watch that and don't do this and don't do that.
نصیحہ مت کر نصیحت دل میرا گھبراوے ہے، نصیحہ مت کر نصیحت دل میرا گھبراوے ہے، میں سمجھوں ہوں اس کو دشمن جو مجھے سمجھاوے ہے۔
Whenever I mention this, how many times you heard this in the month of Ramadan, how true and how real it is, because I'm replying to letters coming from different parts of the world, and so many of them are complaining about the same thing, that we were at one time in the wrong places, we were engaging in haram, we were drinking, gambling, fornicating and watching all the filth on the porn sites, but when we gave it up, we made tawbah, we repented, we express regret, we shed some tears of nadamat. Now when we have to tell our fathers, our mothers, or the brothers and sisters and others in the house that this is not right, you should give it up. So the first thing they say is that you were also in the same actions at one time. So if he was, but he changed now, so why should we taunt and make a mockery of and tease him and about what he was doing some years back? Years back a person could have been doing a lot of things, but if he changed his life, then give him encouragement. If we haven't changed as yet, then at least tell that person that we appreciate, we can see the changes that came in you, make dua that Allah Ta'ala bring about a change in my life also. We should be giving encouragement, not that we tell the person, but you were doing that also last year and 2 years ago and 10 years ago. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when He wipes out those sins, then who are we there to hold on to it? Yes, if it's the rights of somebody that has been trampled upon or the dues of people not paid, that we can tell him that still you haven't done this or you haven't done that. But all the other sins from which he has made tawbah, from drugs and from drink and from adultery and from fornication, so why should we keep reminding him of those sins of the past when even the angels are made to forget? Then who are we to keep on reminding him? If we do that, then the danger is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make this person also get involved in that same sin before his death. The person who was making a mockery, who was teasing, who was giving all kinds of labels to somebody who sincerely repented from his past sins, then death will not come on him until he himself gets caught up in those sins. And we have seen with our own eyes and we have heard with our ears how many people, they get caught up in some sins, it's unbelievable. We will say that this person, how could he have done this? This person, how could he have done that? How many cases like that? We ourselves, sometimes we get caught up in something and we don't realize that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, he must have said something to someone and now it's hitting back. So sometimes the people get caught in such sins that we say that it's unbelievable. How can this man, outwardly so pious and righteous, get caught up? But what has really happened is that he is not prepared to overlook, or he is not prepared to now forget about what that person did in his past life. He made tawbah from it, so now give him encouragement. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has got the doors of tawbah open. That's why I always say to those people who are in drugs and drink and wine and women, I said, look, one thing is certain, that if you sincerely repent and make tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive the sin. He's not going to question you. Rights of people fulfill it, qaza namazes make it. But the other sins, you don't even have to now keep counting them to that, I did this, I did that, I did that. You made sincere tawbah, and when you're making tawbah, say, Ya Allah, forgive all my sins, past and present and future and major and minor and whatever I come finish, that's all. Now you don't have to start thinking of those sins, because shaitan will then take you to the wrong direction. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive the sin, but human beings are such that they're not going to forgive. They will keep on pointing fingers 20 years later to, no, this person did this. So therefore it's better not to go to those sins. Don't say, I will commit it today, do it today and make tawbah tomorrow, because the person is, the friends and the others are not going to forget about it. And then what about the damage that is done to the health? The person who was taking drugs, his health is damaged. For 20 years he took drugs. All the organs of his body has been affected and the health is terribly damaged. Now he made sincere tawbah. Ya Allah, forgive my sins of taking drugs and intoxicants. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgave the sin. Now the forgiveness of the sin, does it mean that this person will straight away also get a very healthy body now? He's not going to get a healthy body now. Sometimes the damage is permanent. So kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai, kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar. So this month of Ramadan that went by, it's almost over. So now if those dents were removed, then don't go back to those same habits. It's not a sensible thing to do. If the person makes so much of effort the whole Ramadan, getting up early, making sehri, fasting, going for namaz, sitting in Quran Sharif tilawat, sitting in i'tikaf, making taraweeh, and then the odd night sometimes not sleeping one wink the whole night, and as soon as the Eid moon is sighted, then the person goes and puts on all those dents back again on that body. So that is not a sensible person's way of life. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us all the tawfiq of implementing the lessons of Ramadan. That discipline that we were learning in Ramadan, it must remain all the time in our lives. I will conclude on one example which I gave some years ago in this masjid and must have given somewhere else after that. But it is something that is easy to understand. Recently when I was at one of the masjid in Johannesburg, then on a Jumu'ah day I gave this example. After that two or three people came to me and they said, Mawlana, this example in the 20 minutes that you gave it, it's so easy to remember and to relate to it. And that was when we went for a walk to Mitchell Park early one morning after Fajr Salat, to breathe in the oxygen which is free of charge provided by Allah Ta'ala. Look at the oxygen, what we have to pay for it in the hospitals. We don't appreciate it because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving it to us free of charge. Look at the trees and the leaves of the trees. At night it's producing carbon dioxide and during the day it's giving you oxygen. For the morning Allah Ta'ala converts it, now it's oxygen. All my bandhas require oxygen. So therefore the trees are instructed to produce oxygen. Let them breathe in oxygen. and no bill will also come. No bill. And the person who requires it, there's no forms to fill also. Nothing. Just go and breathe in. And the hospital is going to fill up forms also. So we were there taking a walk early part of the morning, when all the fitnas are not there at that time. So they saw the board there, and the board said, no dogs allowed except on leash. I'm talking about some years ago, I don't know if the board is still there. But no dogs allowed except on leash. So the friends who were with, I told them, now look at this board. What it's telling? That if you bring a dog here, then make sure it is on leash. And then take it across. Because the mizaj and the nature of the dog is to bark, to bite. It will pass urine here, it will pass stool there, it will go into somebody's picnic basket and eat up the meat and bread from there. So that is the mizaj of the dog. So you put a leash and take it across. So see, the lesson that we take is that this nafs of ours also, the mizaj and the nature is just like that of the dog. Steal somebody's property, watch the porn site, watch some video movies, Hollywood, Bollywood, go to the casino, go to the disco, cast lustful glances at all the women passing by. That's a mizaj of the nafs. It wants those kind of things. No discipline. So put the leash of Sharia tightly around this nafs. The leash of Sharia. Tie that nafs. And then take it across. I mean, he's got the leash of Sharia there, of Quran and Sunnah there. So now when he's going to take this nafs into the bazaar, he's not going to harm him. He's going to go to business, he's not going to harm. The person will fly somewhere, he's not going to harm. The person will be at home, then he'll be the best of husbands or the best of fathers, the best of persons in the home. And if he's in society, he'll be the best of persons in society. Because he's got that leash, so that whenever the taqaza and demand of haram is coming, he's not going for it, because he's got the leash around it. Then take the dog of the nafs wherever you want. It'll become from Ammara to Mutmainna after that. That's all is required. And to give us a training for that, Allah Ta'ala gave us this month of Ramadan and said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, and that is what it was. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. And may He give us the tawfiq to retain that little noor that could have come into our hearts through all this zikr, tilawat, ibadat. And protect us from all the fitnas and fasad that is all around. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin mubarak wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar al-Uyub, Ghaffar al-Zunub Allah. ہم گنہگار ہے, سیاکار ہے, بدکار ہے, مجرم اور خطاکار ہے, سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے. My beloved Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Mubarak days of Ramadan are coming to an end. My beloved Allah, it's just one day that is left. Give us the tawfiq to make the best of the opportunity that you have given to us, to repent, to turn towards you, and to seek forgiveness for all of our sins. Ya Allah, the lessons of Ramadan, let us implement them in our lives. Make us distance ourselves from everything that was haram, everything that is forbidden, everything that is shameless, indecent, and obscene. Everything that is disliked by you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, in the month of Ramadan, we obeyed you with regards to eating and drinking. We did not engage and indulge in eating and drinking or carnal passions from dawn to sunset on your hukam. Ya Allah, after Ramadan, also give us the tawfiq to obey you, to worship you, and to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Palestine, Somalia, Sudan, all parts of the world, the Ummah is going through very, very trying and difficult times. My beloved Allah, all we can do is make dua for the Ummah. We find ourselves helpless, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, have mercy upon the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Open the doors of forgiveness for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Open the doors of your mercy for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, do not seize us on account of our sins. Do not stretch away the bounties because of our sins. Agar tu ne nigahe rahmat pher li, to mere khuda, hum gande jaye kahan. Where do we go if you have to turn away your glance of mercy and rahmat? There is no one for us besides you. Ya Allah, you yourself have mentioned in the Quran Sharif, Qur Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Indeed, my beloved Allah, you are khayrul rahimin. We are therefore seeking your mercy. Ya Allah, you have stated in the Quran Sharif, Ud'uni astajib lakum. My beloved Allah, we are turning towards you and begging of you. You yourself have mentioned, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. My beloved Allah, we are turning towards you and we are seeking forgiveness of all the sins that we have committed. You dearly love the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners that turn towards you. Make us all yours and become ours. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in poverty, give them wealth. Give us halal sustenance and rizq, my Allah. Protect us from all types of haram coming into our system. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, give the children the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accept us all for the service of your Mubarak Deen. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, bless us with all the anwar and the barakat and the rahmat of this Mubarak month. Cause our hearts to be overfilled, may Allah, with the noor and tajalliyat of this Mubarak month. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. When the time of our death comes, don't let the angel of death visit us in any kind of haram action. My beloved Allah, bless us with death in Madina Tayyiba, burial in Waqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Accept our fasting, our zakat, our tilawat, our ibadat, our zikr, our service. My beloved Allah, accept every ibadat that you give us the tawfiq to do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, especially that of the Dajjal, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes and desires that are in the hearts of those who have raised their hands before you this part of the night. Fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and problem of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, remove their suffering, their pain and their problem. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas sami'ul alim, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.